I think that's the wrong music. Let's see if we can find the right music. Here we go. No, we're going to do the Friday music. Oh, my God. Okay, why don't you just... All right, it's not Friday. It's not Friday at all. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Welcome to tonight's program. My name is Mike Malloy. This is Monday. Monday. It is not Friday's program. A lot of stuff happened today, as we had mentioned reports on Friday, where that internal Justice Department investigation that actually was conducted a couple of years ago would be released today. And it was. And as a result of the releasing of that report, now there is serious consideration within Eric Holder's Justice Department to begin the process that may wind up in bringing some justice to this country where it concerns the Bush crime family. Maybe, maybe not. Before we get to that, though, I thought we'd start tonight with Prairie 2's missive that came rolling in here about 10 minutes ago. So let me share it with you. This one is titled, Every Failed Despot Needs a Lamppost. Every failed despot needs a lamppost. Right-wingers who listen to this program are sitting there now going, huh? What does that mean? Prairie 2 writes, only 3 weeks of the first 7 months the Obama administration have come and gone without Friday bank seizures. Last Friday was not one of them. The FDIC had to shell out a large pile of tax dollars to clean up yet another small mess left by Republicans of the Bush administration. Four banks, including a large chain out of Texas, had a visit from the men with the bags of padlocks. And again, none of these banks failed from writing home mortgages or any sort of exotic paper contrivance of Wall Street. But like the rest of the 80 so far this year, they succumbed to large loans made to housing developers and builders. The really big shoe that has yet to drop is the commercial real estate market. This is expected to bring down another 200 banks by the end of the year, but less Pollyanna-ish predictions are for another 1,000 banks to fold, which could even put a strain on the $500 billion that the FDIC has secured from Congress to cover the losses. You can do a lot with $500 billion. You've probably seen the list when they thought the Iraq war was only going to cost $500 billion. And this is only a small down payment on the cost of 30 years of Reaganomics. What is the cost of the end of the American dream? Or the end of civilization? It would have been cheaper to have just given each Republican a truckload of money. The problem is that a sociopath is not happy with just being rich. It's the destruction and suffering that makes him happy. The price tag is just a way of comparing the size of his to the next guy's. Bush and Cheney should be happy men. Very few despots get to do this much damage and live to tell about it. Somewhere in an inner circle of hell, there is a lamppost with their names on it. Handicapping the four horses of the apocalypse, Prairie 2. You can go to his website, prairienumeral2.com, where you'll find all sorts of entertaining mini essays like that one. Yeah, I have a good friend, Chuck, who has been in the commercial real estate and building business for a long time. And he's one of the nice guys. He's one of the you know, not every developer, every builder is a mercenary, money-grubbing, greed-headed bastard. 99% of them are, but not all of them. And our friend Chuck happens to be one who is not. And he's done an awful lot of building in the North Georgia area, including Atlanta. And we were talking a couple of weeks ago, and he made it very clear that at one time he was doing quite well in the commercial real estate business as a builder, as a developer. And he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but the gist of the conversation was those days are gone, and there's a good chance they're not coming back. Now, that's a shame, because the whole idea of commercial development, I mean, we can be purists and say, no, let's go back to living in teepees and mud huts. Okay, you know, that's one way to do it. But, of course, that's not going to happen either. So since there is going to be development, there is going to be commercial real estate, commercial loans, commercial this, commercial that, it should be done a proper way, don't you think? It should be done with some forethought, with some decent planning, some ideas that are not rapacious and based strictly in let's see how many gouges we can put in the earth and how much money we can make. Well, that was the method, the belief anyway, that Chuck had. There's a way to do this. There's a way to do it properly. There's a way to do it in a manner that leaves the environment in pretty damn good shape. People have to have houses. People have to have buildings. People have to have stores they can go to and places where they can buy food, buy, you know, whatever. So it's a real shame, and I've been curious to see how Chuck is going to ride this one out. I know he will, because he's got that kind of a reputation. He comes through these things. But as Prairie 2 writes, that's the other shoe that hasn't fallen yet. It's starting to tumble down the steps, so to speak. You can hear it if you listen. You can hear it ricocheting down step to step, landing to landing as it, you know, as it comes down. But the other shoe falling is going to be a monster. It's one thing. It's one sort of a tragedy to look at housing developments that were built with good intentions of providing people homes. And again, you can make an argument against all this. You can say, no, we should live in caves. And you might be right, and we may go back to that. But it's one thing to see well-thought-out, well-planned housing developments that are now empty. There are several condominium, and I hate condominiums, several condominium projects that were built near where we take Molly for her kindergarten, for her schooling. And we watched them as they went up. And that was about a year and a half ago. And when they were going up, we thought, what? They're building $500,000 condominiums? It's not going to work. And it didn't. And they're still sitting there almost 2 years later. To see the commercial aspect of building, though, the commercial development sitting empty, no stores, no factories, no warehouses, no display rooms. And that's the part that it has kind of a finality to it, that seeing homes that were never sold, or homes that are now abandoned because the financing was skewed to begin with and people had to leave or people filed bankruptcy, that's tragic enough. But you get the sense that other people can move in, and other people do. The New York Times has been running a front page series about near the in Riverside, California, Riverside County, one little cul-de-sac. It's been interesting reading, sad and upsetting, but interesting reading. And as house ownership changes, it changes. But as commercial real estate, like I said, warehouses and display rooms and small manufacturing developments, as they go belly up, nothing comes in to replace them. Nothing. We've watched a couple of big auto assembly plants here in the Atlanta area close. We've watched hundreds, all right, don't exaggerate. We've watched at least a score of car lots close. And these are now just scars on the landscape. There's nothing going to go in there. Nothing. Until maybe, I don't know, the next building boom? When will that be? 20, 30 years? 40? Ever? We'll be back.
And I like Banks of Fender Twin Reverb. Well, when I walk in there, treat me like a dog, gonna hit him in the head with the doo-doo law. Republicans, one and all, their tallywhackers are mighty small. Steal from the poor and give to the rich, gonna make the bank president twitch in a ditch. Aw.
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
This portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it's our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option.
She makes the sign of a teaspoon, he makes the sign of a wave.
It is 21 past the hour. The L.A. Times, it's pretty much all over the place. It was out articles in the L.A. Times, New York Times, Washington Post yesterday and today about this report. The among other things, the CIA, and keep in mind that the CIA is the most well-funded, the most widespread where it concerns the Earth. It has its tentacles everywhere. The most criminal terrorist organization ever put together. The most criminal. There is no way to estimate how many people have died because of activities taken by the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States. There is no way. You can pick any number you want, and it probably would not be sufficient unless you got crazy with it and said 50 million. But certainly if you said 10 million, I think you'd be in the ballpark. In the 60 or so years that this terrorist organization has operated all over the earth, with absolutely no restriction, it has committed more crimes per capita than probably any entity ever in the history of mankind. The CIA. By anybody's definition, it is a terror organization. It murders people, and it doesn't care what their station is in life. It will murder a courier. It will murder the head of a government. It will murder a Catholic a bishop. It will murder anyone it wants to murder. And if it is inconvenient to commit the murder, the CIA will fund the murderers who will commit the murder. The CIA, by any definition, is a terrorist organization of unimaginable reach and proportion. Let's stipulate that. That's what I'll stipulate that before I go on with this. Why should we pretend that the CIA is in business to protect the American people from the bad guys? I mean that is beyond delusional. What was the president of Guatemala back in 1953, what was his threat to the United States that resulted in the CIA overthrowing his duly elected government? What was the threat? What was the threat to the people of the United States in Chile when the people of that country elected Salvador Allende, a socialist? What was the threat? And we had him murdered. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on, and I'm not going to bore you with it because, yawn, it's so last century. But the CIA is a terror organization. Worse, it has found an organization that is willing to do even more violence than it would do. And that was this filthy Christian fanatic sociopathic Eric Prince's Blackwater. So between the two, CIA and Blackwater, the blood has flowed. Oh, dear God, has it flowed. With no respect for anyone's human rights, anyone's legal rights. Where concerned so-called collateral damage, men, women, and children blown into red mist, tough. And why do they do this? To preserve and protect and defend corporate America. That's the only reason the CIA existed from the very beginning. That was its genesis after World War II. Uh-oh, here come the commies. Oh, and we're the capitalese. So we got to protect capitalism and corporatism and corporate America. The CIA is a terror organization. It is a murderous cabal that operates completely outside the law, completely outside any ethical or moral restrictions whatsoever. So any talk you hear about, well, you know, they shot a gun off in the other room, which violated the guidelines. Please consider all of that bat snot. It means nothing. Nothing. When you're dealing with a terror organization that has the scope and breadth and depth and reach of the CIA, threatening to rape somebody's mother in the next room is child's play.
Radio right from the left. It's more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. So the Justice Department has released, the Inspector General, the Justice Department Inspector General's office has released a report detailing what the CIA, this global terrorist organization, has been doing during the Bush, the years of the Bush crime family, Bush and Cheney. And again, the mock executions and the weapons in the questioning rooms and the power drills and the threats to bring in detainees' children and murder them in front of the detainees if necessary. If anything else happened to the United States, the children would be killed in front of the detainees. And this report was put together in 2004. I'm not laughing because anything's funny. I'm laughing because of the madness of it. 2004 report by the CIA's Inspector General. Did I say Justice Department? I meant CIA Inspector General. So the new Attorney General, Eric Holder, is now considering appointing a criminal prosecutor to investigate these cases. And I like the way it's reported, to investigate cases in which the CIA strayed beyond its authority. Strayed? Its authority? I guess that's for public consumption, because every attorney general for the past 60 years, every president, every administration official, I'm not talking about the legislative branch, they're a bunch of dumb asses and have been for years, but the executive branch, every single honcho in the executive branch for the past 60 years knew that a statement like, we're considering appointing a criminal prosecutor to investigate cases in which the CIA strayed beyond its authority, was a joke. Strayed beyond its authority? The CIA had authority to do whatever it goddamn pleased. Anywhere on earth. Under any circumstances. Just cover your ass if you're gonna do it, boys! And try not to get your assets in all these other countries murdered when your cover's finally blown, as was the case of all those people who thought they were contributing to the good side who dealt with Valerie Plame. Until she was exposed, and the company, the shell company, the shell is in fake, empty, nothing there, set up by the CIA, all of it exposed by the now dead, roasting in hell, Robert Novak. Nobody will ever know how many people died as a result of that exposure. But that's just the way it goes with the CIA. Why does everybody go, oh, power drills? They were going to bring in the wife and rape her? Oh! Yeah, that's bad. That's horrible. Is it in the same league with turning children into red mist because you decide to go into a village and drop drone missiles on it? Not because the commanders, the military commanders, have said, hey, listen, here's what we need you to do. We need a tactical airstrike on here are the coordinates. No. I'm not saying that doesn't happen occasionally. But the CIA, the political arm of corporate America, makes the decision. And if they don't, their hired contractor does. So, yeah, this is awful stuff. It really is. Murdering children in front of detainees, raping the women, drilling holes in detainees' heads.
Oh, it was only threatened, Mike. Jesus Christ. Take a chill pill, you goddamn liberal. Yeah, I know.
And the nuts who carry the weapons in Phoenix never really pointed them at anybody. What's everybody getting their balls in an uproar for, right? Only this is a CIA. This is not a bunch of twits running around outside a Barack Obama gathering with their pop guns. This is real stuff. This is the terror organization known as the CIA. And as the LA Times says, the Inspector General's report also describes at least one instance in which a CIA fired a gun in a room next door to a detainee. Ooh, did they really? Bad boys, bad boys. Oh, for Christ's sake. That makes its way into the LA Times. Hey, LA Times, why don't you talk about the real atrocities? I'll tell you what. Here, I'll give you a starting point. Go to Bagram Air Base. Take a look at the records there. Take a look at the people the CIA put into packing containers and then left sitting in the desert until they goddamn cooked. Cooked! And we're going to get our balls in an uproar because somebody fired a gun in the next room?
Hey, Mr. Detainee, hear that gunshot? That could be your head. No talk.
Oh, my God. A former U.S. official familiar with the report,
who spoke on condition of anonymity because of the issue's sensitivity, said, quote,
some of the things that were done were almost in juvenile detective mode, end quote. Juvenile detective mode? Really? Okay. I guess shooting a gun off in the next room and saying, oh, well, we just killed another one. Oh, my. Yeah, I guess so. Blowing up cities, overthrowing governments, salting the landscape with depleted uranium, assassinating leaders, destabilizing currencies. That's not juvenile detective mode. That's terrorism.
In particular, the report raised troubling questions about the frequency with which certain prisoners were being waterboarded.
Really? About the frequency with which certain prisoners were being murdered. Does that account for anything? There was an article in the New York Times. When was this? Last week, the week before, somewhere back there, written by Nina Bernstein. Talking about detainee deaths, and this is just immigration and customs enforcement officials. They call it the death roster. Sounds like something Sarah Palin would come up with. 104 people since October 2003 who have died or been murdered in detention as a result of being put in detention by the immigration authorities in this country. Imagine what the total must be in Afghanistan. How about the total in one of our unknown and unknowable death camps that we have scattered all over the country, all over the globe? And so many of these places now are privately owned. They are run by the terrorist organization that is the CIA. The CIA commits the acts of terror against detainees, against whom, in most instances, there's no proof. But again, let's not lose sight of what torture is about. Excuse me. Torture is not about getting information. That's not what torture is about. Torture is about affirming what the torturer wants to hear. That's all it is. So how will we ever know in all these privately run, like Blackwater and all kinds of different companies, I'm sure now, who are out there on the front lines fighting the good, brave fight for corporate America? How will we ever know, since it's a matter of proprietary information, you see? Just like the codes to jigger the voting machines, you and I are not entitled to know that. Why? Because it's proprietary information. The number of deaths and dismemberments and beheadings and killings and stompings and throttlings and stranglings and cookings alive and on and on. How many? No, we'll never know. Why? Because it's proprietary information. It belongs to companies like Blackwater. Subcontracted by the world's most fearsome terrorist organization in the history of mankind, the CIA. And let me ask you something. Who out there in mainstream media has the guts to call the CIA what it is, a terrorist organization? I'll wait. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. Americans.
protection against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. You know, in reading the report in the LA Times by the Associated Press, in the Washington Post, and in the New York Times about this the story, about this report that was put together 5 years ago by the CIA's Inspector General, and then hidden, and we'll get to that in a second. You know, and nowhere do I see anybody refer to the CIA as a terror organization. Is that because it's our terror organization, or is it because the writers are prohibited in calling a spade and a terror organization a terror organization? They have no problem in calling people, you know, donkey cart drivers and cabbies and opium farmers who are swept up in Afghanistan 70 years ago. They have no problem, mainstream media, calling them terror suspects, right? Terror suspects. Says who? So why not call the CIA what it really is? A global terrorist organization that is based in Langley, Virginia. Why not? Why not? Let's just get real for a change. Oh, no. Never mind. We don't get real here. We were brought up on John Wayne movies. John Wayne, the guy who dodged the draft in World War II every way he could. Anything to keep his ass out of the military. Ah, but he made great movies, didn't he? Huh? Pork Chop Hill and Vietnam and Green Berets and World War II. Son of a bitch, you show me those Japs or Germans or VC and I'll blow them away, as long as it's just a movie. We have certain mythologies. We have certain belief systems in this country, among which is the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, the agency, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, riders on the storm indeed. The CIA declined to discuss specifics in the report, but old Leon Panetta just about had a cow, didn't he? Huh? We'll talk about that next hour. CIA spokesman Paul Gimigliano said that the Justice Department has had the report since 2004, and that prosecutors have carefully reviewed it for legal accountability. He said, Mr. Gimigliano, that the CIA, quote, in no way condoned behavior, no matter how infrequent, that went beyond formal guidance, end quote. He added, quote, well, this has all been looked at. This is old stuff. Professionals in the Department of Justice decided if and when to pursue prosecution. That's how the system was supposed to work, and that's how it did work, end quote. And the LA Times does not mention that the office where these professionals in the Department of Justice worked have to do with the, is it the, what circuit court is it in Virginia, that is a graveyard. That's where everything that the Bush crime family did not want made public or further exposed, that's where it was sent. A report by the Inspector General's office of the CIA that said bad things? Ooh, send it over there to the federal court in Eastern Virginia, where it will just languish.
This has been looked at, Mr. Gimigliano said. It's professionals in the Department of Justice looked at it. Professionals, not amateurs. Pro-goddamn-fessionals, he said. He didn't say goddamn. I just put that in there because I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of it. Are you sick of it? Huh? But there's the L.A. Times. Greg Miller, L.A. Times. The methods were not mentioned in Justice Department memos authorizing the so-called enhanced interrogation program for terrorism detainees. How many terms in that sentence, truth seeker, jumps out at you? The way they jumped out at me, that indicates that Greg Miller, who writes for the LA Times, is a goddamn pawn who is doing exactly what he's told to do.
Authorizing the so-called enhanced interrogation program for terrorism detainees. Terrorism detainees? Greg doesn't even call them terrorism suspects. Why bother? Terrorism suspects? That's a little bit light. Too much light in. Suspect. Well, wait a minute. Suspect. The average reader of the LA Times may go, head scratch. Hum. Let me think. Suspect. Well, hell. What if the guy's innocent? So let's not call them terrorism suspects. Let's call them terrorism detainees. Okay, that's it. Case closed. They are terrorism detainees. They're being detained because they're terrorists. Get it? So a gunshot goes off in another room? One of them is told, well, we're going to bring your wife in and gang rape her. Ooh, no, don't do that. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Is that what we're supposed to believe? A terror organization like the CIA that assassinates heads of state, that overthrows governments, that causes thousands, millions, hundreds of thousands of people to die? We're supposed to get our bloomers in a wad because they pretended like they were going to shoot somebody in the next room? Give me a break. But now watch what happens from the right wing in this country. Watch the Republicans. Why, already 8 Republicans have warned Eric Holder. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Mr. Holder, now, God damn it, we understand that this is a new day, a new age, and we know you're a colored fella, but you do have that position of being Attorney General. But, Mr. Holder, we have to tell you something. Sir, you have to understand something here now. This is not going any further. Do you understand, Mr. Attorney General? Wonder what Eric Holder is going to say in return. Don't you? The hour on the Malloy program, and probably where you are also, right? All right, back to the shocking news. Shocking, I tell you, that a report was put together 5 years ago that laid out some really terrible things. Firing a gun in another room. I'm starting to mock this in the same manner that the pig man or the suicider would mock it. Of course, I'm coming at it from an entirely different point of view. I don't think the drug-addled Limbaugh or the suicider would admit or state categorically, not admit, just openly state that the CIA is a terror organization, which is all it's ever been. That's what it was designed to be. But I digress. The report has come out through a Freedom of Information Act request by the ACLU. There it is. Granted, of the, what I see on the news today, I'm picking numbers out of the air. Of 150 pages, 40 of them are completely or almost completely redacted, blacked out. Okay. Anyway, now to phase two of this. The Justice Department's Ethics Office has recommended that Attorney General Eric Holder reopen and pursue several of these CIA prisoner abuse cases. Not all of them, oh God forbid, but several. That's according to a government official today, the Associated Press reports. And that happened at the same time a report circulated that President Barack Obama has approved creation of a special unit of interrogators reporting directly to the White House, which would be run by the FBI. A little wrist slap there for the CIA. You know what should happen to the CIA? The employees at Langley, Virginia, should be given 3 days advance notice. 3 days advance notice to clear out their desks and everybody get out because the place is going to be bombed. And after everybody was cleared out and dogs were sent through to sniff out any people that might be hiding, after we were certain that none of our CIA employees were in the building, then fly over the building on orders of the president and drop incendiary bombs to the extent that the whole goddamn place will cease to exist. And the souls and ghosts and wandering dead people, millions of them who have died because of the CIA, will shriek into the universe their ecstasy. What? Oh, well, you know what I'm saying. But that's not going to happen. Mr. President Obama has decided, okay, no more CIA interrogation units. We're going to have FBI interrogation units now. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Subjecting prisoner abuse cases to possible prosecution, you see, would reverse the policy of the Bush administration. During the Bush crime family years, prisoner abuse? Well, we're gonna investigate. God, what? Just send me the videotape so I can get naked and play with myself and watch it. I love torture porn. Prosecute torture and violation of just about every law we've got on the books and every treaty we've ever signed and every agreement that we forced down the throats of the rest of the world at Nuremberg, Germany? What? Prosecute? Give me a goddamn break. That was then. This is now. Prosecute. Those cases have all been closed. So opening them up to possible prosecution, investigation, you know, special investigator, oh, God, well, let's see, now what, could expose CIA employees and agency contractors, you know, like Blackwater, to criminal prosecution. Really? Oh, no. Well, that's going to go nowhere. Criminal prosecution. Right. Recommendations to do this by the Office of Professional Responsibility was recently presented to Attorney General Eric Holder. And Eric Holder is giving it his close consideration and attention. For sure, for sure. Now, this special terrorism interrogation team that would be placed at the FBI, taken away from the CIA, and report directly to the White House has a name. It has a name. According to the Washington Post, this new unit would be named, are you ready? Here we go. The High Value Detainee Interrogation Group. Hot damn. The High Value Detainee Interrogation Group. This is not for low value detainees or medium value. No, no. Or detainees with no value. This is High Value Detainee Interrogation Group. Ah? And it would be comprised of experts from the law enforcement and intelligence community. Whoops, the intelligence community? Why, you don't suppose that would just go right on back to the CIA, do you? According to the Associated Press, this unit structure would depart significantly from the sort of work like this that was done under the Bush crime family when the CIA had the lead and sometimes the exclusive role in questioning Al-Qaeda suspects. Every suspect was a terrorism detainee or an Al-Qaeda suspect. You notice they never called him terrorism suspect. Well, we talked about that before the last commercial break, didn't we? Okay, moving right along. As for the prisoner abuse cases, the AG is considering, well, should I or shouldn't I? Whether or not to appoint a special criminal prosecutor to investigate what was done during the Bush crime family years, but only what was done where it concerned these detainees, not the other crimes that were committed by the CIA. No. Come on, Malloy, play fair. We're only going to investigate, if we investigate at all, the people who were forced to listen to a phony execution in the next room, or the people who were told, we are going to rape your wife. Beyond that, no. Oh, my. So what to do? Well, Leon Panetta, the former Clinton, wasn't he Bill Clinton's special counsel or something? He's a lawyer, right? He was Clinton's special counsel. And now old Leon is the head of the CIA. Leon Panetta. Well, according to ABC News, there was a screaming match at the White House. As a matter of fact, they say a, quote, profanity-laced screaming match, end quote, at the White House, involving CIA Director Leon Panetta and the expected release that did occur today of another damning internal investigation. A profanity-laced screaming match at the White House. Now, hold on just a second here. Who could that have been? Well, according to sources, it involved Leon Panetta, but who else? Was he standing in front of a mirror? According to intelligence officials, Panetta erupted in a tirade during a meeting with a senior White House staff member. Who could that be? Panetta was reportedly upset over plans by Eric Holder to open criminal investigation of allegations that CIA officers broke the law in carrying out certain interrogation techniques that President Obama has termed, quote, torture, end quote. That's the way ABC reports it on the whatever blog I'm reading. Techniques that President Obama has termed, quote, torture, end quote. You like that? Certain interrogation techniques that President Obama has termed. No, it's not just, it was the... before President Obama, it was the judges at Nuremberg and the judges that met on the deck of the aircraft carrier in Tokyo Bay, and a special investigation panels that were set up wherein the Japanese who did this to American prisoners were hanged. But this says interrogation techniques that President Obama has termed, quote, torture, unquote. This portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. Twenty-one past the hour. So, according to people in the know, including a senior White House official, a profanity-laced screaming match at the White House between Leon Panetta and top White House officials. According to intelligence officials, Panetta erupted in a tirade last month during a meeting with a senior White House staff member. Panetta was reportedly upset over plans by Eric Holder to open a criminal investigation of allegations the CIA broke the law. In carrying out certain interrogation techniques that President Obama has termed torture, quotes around torture. See how they do this? Panetta was also apparently upset over the release, according to ABC News, that occurred today of that internal 2004 report on CIA torture. In a letter to agency employees this morning, Panetta defended CIA practices. He said, quote, the agency sought and received multiple written assurances that its methods were lawful, end quote. Panetta also sent that message to reporters, and he called the information contained in the Inspector General's report, are you ready? Quote, old news, end quote. Leon Panetta calls, yeah, old news. It's just old news. Who cares? Old news. Jumbo shrimp. You know, old news. How could it be old if it's news? How could it be news if it's old? Oh, never mind. Never mind. It's old news. That report's 5 years old, almost six. Of course, the report written during the years of the Bush crime family was only written for the pro forma aspect.
Well, we did a report on it. I can't seem to get my hands on it.
Well, it's out in the eastern wilds of Virginia, in the court out there, the Justice Department's office of deep, dark holes where things go that the Bush crime family never wanted anyone to know about. God damn that ACLU and their FOIA. Huh. This is what Panetta wrote to, and I'm going to give you the whole thing, to his comrades working deep within the bowels of the CIA.
Today, as part of a number of Freedom of Information Act cases, the government is responding to court orders to release more documents related to the agency's past detention and interrogation of foreign terrorists.
Ah. Not suspects. Not those waiting to be adjudicated as terrorists. No, no, foreign terrorists. The CIA materials include the 2004 report from our Office of Inspector General and two papers, one from 2004, the other from 2005, that discuss the value of intelligence acquired from high-level detainees. The complete package is hundreds of pages long. The declassification process, a mandatory part of the proceedings, was conducted in accord with established FOIA guidelines. This is in many ways an old story. The outlines of prior interrogation practices and many of the details are public already. The use of enhanced interrogation techniques begun when our country was responding to the horrors of September 11th ended in January. For the CIA now, the challenge is not the battles of yesterday, but those of today and tomorrow. It is there that we must work to enhance the safety of our country. That is the job the American people want us to do, and that is my responsibility as the current director of the CIA. My emphasis on the future comes with a clear recognition that our agency takes seriously proper accountability for the past. Oh, yes, we do. As the intelligence service of a democracy, that's an important part of who we are. Are you listening to this? Leon Panetta wrote this.
When it comes to past detention and interrogation practices, here are some facts to bear in mind on that point. The CIA itself commissioned the Inspector General's review, so there. The report prepared 5 years ago noted both the effectiveness of the interrogation program and concerns about how it had been run early on. Several agency components, including the Office of General Counsel and the Directorate of Operations, disagreed with some of the findings and conclusions.
Oh, there's more. There's more from Leon's note this morning, and when we come back from this break, I want to share it with you because this is the most acute example of the comedic writing that boils out of the bowels of the CIA.
You know, this is an old story. This is a job the American people want us to do. I'm not here to challenge the battles of yesterday. I'm here to discuss the battles of today and tomorrow. Yes, by God. That's what we're here to defend democracy on the ramparts of justice, wherever.
The rest of this memo from Leon Panetta when we come back. Oh, do stick around. You're going to like it.
To all that can hear it. If you got secret information, now's the time to share it. Call your congresswoman, your senator, your mayor. It's time for all the scholars to unite with all the players. Rearrange and see. Times are definitely changing, G. They used to tap the phone. Now they tapping while you paging me. It's crazy, B. Yet it's plain to see who the enemy. Who's left? The NRA? The ATF? The AMA? Okay, okay. It's all irrelevant. Cause in the new millennium, there'll be no central intelligence.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
Oh. Ooh. 26 before the hour. All right, back to Leon Panetta's memo to all the boys and girls at the CIA. This is his second I love you memo since he has been the DCIA, isn't it? Huh? This is the second one. Message from the director. Release of material on past detention. Well, he tells the boys and girls there that it's an old story and his emphasis is on the future. And, you know, we have to move forward. He goes on to say he wants the boys and girls at the CIA to keep in mind some facts. And here they are. The CIA itself commissioned the Inspector General's review. Eh? Now, you know what that means. That means, well, we're the ones that said do it. The report, prepared 5 years ago, noted both the effectiveness of the interrogation program. Really? And concerns about had been run early on. Several agency components, including the Office of General Counsel and the Directorate of Operations, disagreed with some of the findings and conclusions. You know. Next, the CIA referred allegations of abuse to the Department of Justice for potential prosecution back in 2004. Well, that certainly didn't work, did it, Leon, huh? Because what happened to that report? Right. It just kind of disappeared. And back to Leon. This agency made no excuses for behavior, however rare, that went beyond the formal guidelines on counter-terrorism. We made no excuses. The Department of Justice has had the complete IG report since 2004. It's career prosecutors. See, that's supposed to make you think, well, their career, they couldn't be Republican or Democrat. Its career prosecutors have examined that document and other incidents from Iraq and Afghanistan for legal accountability. They worked carefully and thoroughly, sometimes taking years to decide if prosecution was warranted or not. Why, in one case, the department obtained a criminal conviction of a CIA contractor. Yes, he did. In other instances, after justice chose not to pursue action in court, the agency took disciplinary steps of its own. That one criminal conviction of a CIA contractor, I think that was a fraud conviction or something like that for overcharging for hammers. And he says in other instances after the Department of Justice chose not to pursue action in court, and why would they? It was the John Yoo, Alberto Gonzalez, John Ashcroft Justice Department. They're going to pursue action in court. Since they chose not to pursue action in court, Mr. Panetta says, the agency took disciplinary steps of its own. It did indeed. Why, at one point, if you would have walked into the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, you would have seen at least 25 CIA agents sitting in the corner on a stool with a dunce cap while they repeated, I will not kill people again. I will not kill people again. I will not kill people again. That works. Back to the memo. The CIA provided the complete, unredacted IG report to Congress. It was made available to the leadership of the Congressional Intelligence Committees in 2004 and to the full committees in 2006. All of the material in the document is subject to congressional oversight and reviewed for legal accountability. As director,
Here in 2009, my primary interest when it comes to a program that no longer exists, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, giggle, giggle, hoot, hoot, is to stand up for those officers who did what their country asked them to do. I don't remember that. Do you, Truth Seeker? When did our country ask the CIA to round up goat herders and cook them in shipping containers in the deserts of Afghanistan? I just don't. When did we ask the CIA to arrest people who were being turned over by the so-called Northern Alliance? And for the reward money, here, take this man. We found him on a cell phone talking to bin Laden. I don't remember any of this, do you? My job is to stand up for those officers who did what the country asked and who followed the legal guidance they were given. The legal guidance? From Ashcroft, you and Gonzalez? Oh, for Christ's sake. That is the Pentagon's position, too. The CIA was aggressive over the years in seeking new opinions from the Department of Justice as the legal landscape changed. You know, as we went from a nation of laws to a nation of Nazis. And oh, never mind, I added that part. The agency sought and received multiple written assurances that its methods were lawful. He actually wrote that. He wrote that. Leon Panetta, a very wise Italian man. He wrote that. He wrote that the agency sought and received multiple written assurances that its methods were lawful. He actually wrote that. No Nuremberg, no hangings in the Bay of Tokyo, back to the memo. The CIA has a strong record in terms of following legal guidance and informing the Department of Justice of potentially illegal conduct.
Hello, Department of Justice. Hi, this is CIA. Listen, we had a couple of guys over there who just wiped out an entire village of women and children. We think it might be potentially illegal. What do you think, boys? We'll hold on.
I make no judgments, Leon wrote, on the accuracy of the 2004 Inspector General's report or the various views expressed in it. I make no judgments. Not me. Hell no. I just came on board. And besides, I'm a Democrat. Nor am I eager to enter the debate, already politicized over the ultimate utility of the agency's past detention and interrogation effort. But this much is clear. The CIA obtained intelligence from high-value detainees when inside information on Al-Qaeda was in short supply. Yes, we did. Whether this was the only way to obtain that information will remain a legitimate area of dispute, with Americans holding a range of views on the methods used.
Really? So, putting lighted cigarettes out on the eyeballs of people you were questioning, that is going to be debated for a long time as to whether or not that was legal, much less fun, right?
The CIA requested and received legal guidance and referred allegations of abuse to the Department of Justice. President Obama has established new policies for interrogation.
Oh, that last sentence there, that's a winner, isn't it?
Huh? President Obama has established new policies. Daddy has told us, okay, we're not going to take you to the woodshed and whip your asses. But I'll tell you what, if you cross the street again in the middle of the block, you are going to really get it. Go to the corner and wait for the light to turn green. The CIA, Mr. Panetta goes on, must also keep its focus on the primary responsibility of protecting the country. Son of a bitch. America is a nation at war. This agency plays a decisive role in helping the United States meet the full range of security threats and opportunities overseas.
Opportunities? The CIA? Really?
That starts with the continuing fight against Al-Qaeda and its sympathizers. There, alongside all its other contributions, the CIA is helping our government chart a new way forward on interrogation, one in keeping with the president's executive order of January 22nd. You, the men and women of this great institution, do the hard work and take the tough risks that intelligence and espionage demand. I'm very proud of what you do here and abroad to protect the United States. Your skill, courage, commitment, and focus on mission makes the CIA indispensable to the nation. It is a privilege to serve with you, Leon E. Panetta.
Oh, my God. Wow. I've just got to sit here for a second and let the full force of Director Panetta's poetry wash over me. I want to take that in. I want to feel the words that say the CIA must also keep its focus on the primary responsibility of protecting the country. This agency plays a decisive role in helping the United States meet the full range of security threats and opportunities overseas. My God, it's almost like rough sex, isn't it? There, alongside all its other contributions, the CIA is helping our government chart a new way forward on interrogation. Oh, my God.
Truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. I guess what really rings my chimes about this report that is 5 years old, and there's also a word out that when Eric Holder saw the details of this report from 2005, and I'm sure he sees the unredacted version. Reports are that he was very, 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 very upset. And I, not to deny the man, the same thing I would feel if I could see the unredacted version of this report about what was done to people in our, under our control, totally helpless, totally vulnerable to whatever we decided to do to them. I hate that pronoun. Whatever the CIA decided to do to them, I'm sure it was shocking. But surely to God, Eric Holder did not just fall off the turnip truck last week. He did not live in a little sealed room all those years until Barack Obama chose him to be Attorney General. Eric Holder is a learned man. He surely, as does Barack Obama, as does just about everybody in the executive branch, understand what the CIA is and what it's done and what it continues to do and what it will always do. I mean, you can't stop a snake from being a snake. Sometimes even if you cut off its head, it continues to be a snake. So for Eric Holder to be shocked, 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 I tell you, to find out that one suspect, one detainee, one whatever you want to call him, one goat herder, one camel driver, one cab driver, whatever these people were, had been waterboarded 119 times, and Eric Holder just about swallowed his own tongue. He was so shocked. Really? And the CIA officers turned on high-powered drills. The implication being the drill would be used into the detainee's head. Oh, God. Mock executions. The bolt opened. A bullet chambered. The bolt closed. Threats against children. All of this did what? Well, obviously it upset Eric Holder. Richard Clark, the former national security official. Remember Richard Clark? Said today, quote, "We now have a document that the world can read that shows in excruciating and disgusting detail that the United States violated its own beliefs and turned to the dark side when it didn't have to," end quote. We have a document, Richard? This? Are you goddamn kidding me, Richard? You're a former national security official. This? This is a document that shows in excruciating and disgusting detail that the United States violated its own beliefs. Come on, Richard, for Christ's sake. See, Richard's another one, just like Leon, and probably going to turn out just like Eric, just like Barack. Well, we're shocked. We're shocked, I tell you, to find out that gambling is going on here in Licks. No, how could this be? Inspector, here's your winnings. Oh, sacre bleu! These people are not stupid. They are complicit. And that's worse, isn't it? You know, I make a lot of noise, a lot of wheezing and farting and yelling and burping and belching on this program about willful ignorance. Which is worse, willful ignorance or complicity in this sort of stuff? I hold with complicity. How about you? So, the new game in town will now be, will he or won't he? Will Eric Holder toss caution to the wind and appoint a special, let's not call him a prosecutor. Now, come on, not a prosecutor. No. Although the Washington Post says today, Attorney General Eric Holder has decided to appoint a prosecutor to examine nearly a dozen cases in which CIA interrogators and contractors may have violated anti-torture laws and other statutes when they allegedly threatened terrorism suspects, according to two sources familiar with the move. Holder is poised to name John Durham, a career Justice Department prosecutor from Connecticut, to lead the inquiry. Durham's mandate will be narrow. You bet your ass it'll be narrow. To look at whether there's enough evidence to launch a full-scale criminal investigation of current and former CIA personnel who may have broken the law in their dealings with detainees. It's also my understanding that part of the directive to the special prosecutor, investigator, will be to hands off now, hands off where it concerns former higher-ups in the Bush crime, in the Bush administration. Hands off. All we want to know in this investigation. Oh, and by the way, if your line of inquiry starts to take you directly into Dick Cheney's beating heart, you're going to have to turn the other way. We don't want any of that. We're looking forward, not backward, except where it concerns low. Well, you remember, what was that girl's name from the Abu Ghraib torture? You remember the one that had the leash on the boy? And yeah, right. That's all the further we want to go with this one, too. To the Malloy Show. There's also a report here that the CIA hired Blackwater to conduct targeted killings in Afghanistan. That's old stuff. We know about that. A memo obtained by Der Spiegel, is it Der Spiegel, indicates that cooperation between the CIA and Blackwater was deeper than previous loan. No, and Spiegel has uncovered further details about a plan set up to set up squads for targeted killings, yada, yada, yada. In a memo obtained by Der Spiegel, two former employees described details of cooperation between the firm and the intelligence agency that then-Vice President Dick Cheney asked the CIA not to tell anyone in the U.S. Congress. It just goes on and on. I would suggest that nobody really get their hopes up that there is going to be a complete ripping away of the snakeskin that is the cover of the Bush crime family and all the stuff that they did during the 8 years, including their involvement in 9/11, up to and including the efforts by Dick Cheney after he was unelected or unappointed to continue to influence the discussion, even after Barack Obama was sworn in as the president. But it's simply not going to happen, and we all know it's not going to happen. And I would, you know, caution anyone who is starting to jump up and down and say, oh, justice is just around the corner. It's just over the horizon. I know it. I feel it in my bones. No, it isn't, and no, you don't. What you feel is anticipation, maybe, but nothing is going to come of this. There may be, you know, don't forget Lindy England. Don't forget her boyfriend who got her pregnant, Granger, whatever the hell his name was. Those are the only two people that suffered anything for just God knows how many incidences of torture at Abu Ghraib. And Abu Ghraib was just a prison. I mean, it was not. So anyway, the Attorney General is going to appoint, so we've heard, John Durham, a career Justice Department prosecutor. The Washington Post says Durham was selected in part because the longtime prosecutor is familiar with the CIA and its past interrogation regime. For nearly 2 years, Durham has been probing whether laws against obstruction or false statements were violated in connection with the 2005 destruction of CIA videotapes. Oh, Mr. Durham has been probing whether laws were violated because the CIA destroyed videotapes of the torture? I'll bet a few were, Mr. Durham, and I'm not even in the, you know, Justice Department. The tapes, according to the Washington Post, depicted brutal scenes. Oh, yes. That inquiry is proceeding before a grand jury in Alexandria, Virginia. Although lawyers following the investigation have cast doubt on whether it will result in any criminal charges. Doubt? Oh, come on. Let's not use the word like doubt. Let's use this word. Lawyers following the investigation are goddamn certain that there will be no criminal charges. Come on, boys. Get in the game. Come on. Doubt? And then the Washington Post, and I love this. This has got to be humor on the part of who wrote this, Kerry Johnson. Kerry has to be tickling everybody here with a sharp pointed stick when she writes this. Holder's decision could complicate the Justice Department's relationship with the White House, where President Obama has repeatedly expressed a desire to move forward from the national security controversies of the Bush administration. Deputy White House Press Secretary Bill Burton told reporters today that the president had complete faith in Holder and that the decision whether to launch an investigation was the Attorney General's sole prerogative. Oh, Kerry, you crack my ass up. So that's how Kerry writes that little paragraph. Yeah, well, it could complicate the Justice Department's relationship with the White House. Really? You think maybe that Eric and Barack are at sixes and sevens over this one? Huh? You think, Kerry? Do you think that Eric is sitting around going, damn, should I do this? I wonder what Barack will do. And Barack is sitting over his place going, is Eric going to do this? I wonder. Come on, Kerry. Some of us can appreciate your humor, but for Christ's sake, a lot of people read the Washington Post who don't understand that you just made a joke. Kerry goes on at the Washington Post saying any criminal investigation in the CIA conduct faces serious hurdles, including such challenges as missing evidence, non-existent witnesses. Well, yeah, they've all been murdered. Unreliable witnesses. Yeah, they've all been driven mad. No access to some bodies of detainees who died. I like that one. No access to some bodies of detainees who have died. You know, for forensic CSI stuff, can't do it, huh? And the passage of up to 7 years since the questionable activity occurred far from American soil. Well, by God, that just seems like insurmountable, doesn't it? Huh? I wouldn't call that a serious hurdle, Kerry. I would call that reason certain that nothing's going to happen. Come on. Come on, boys and girls. During the Bush years, Kerry writes, a team of more than a half dozen career prosecutors in the Eastern District of Virginia, which is renowned for its expertise in probing clandestine operations. But she leaves off the part where it talks, where, yes, they are renowned for probing clandestine operations. But then what they do is take the evidence or the report and they lock it up, Kerry. And it takes an FOIA act. It takes the ACLU. It takes a judge someplace who wasn't tipped off to deny the request to get the information out. But anyway, a team of more than half dozen career prosecutors reviewed about 20 cases of alleged prisoner abuse after receiving referrals from the military and then CIA Inspector General John Helgerson. In only one of the cases did the lawyers recommend seeking a grand jury indictment. A federal appeals court earlier this month affirmed the assault conviction of David Passero, a CIA contractor who wielded a metal flashlight against a detainee at a military base in Afghanistan. Passero was not charged with murder. Abdul Wali, the detainee he questioned, died shortly after the beating, but investigators could not conclusively link his death to the flashlight attack. Kerry is cracking me up. Kerry Johnson, writing at the Washington Post, is actually saying this. Abdul-Wali died shortly after the beating, but investigators could not conclusively link his death to the flashlight attack. Yeah, it must have been heart failure or something, or I don't know, what would it be, internal bleeding? That's right, he fell down a flight of stairs. So out of all those cases of alleged prisoner abuse, they couldn't even get David Passero. Well, okay, they got him for assault. You know what? I can walk out the front door of the Malloy compound and go down the road a few, maybe quarter mile and knock on my neighbor's door. And when he comes to the door, I can punch him right in the nose and I will get an assault conviction. If I attack him with a flashlight, though, and beat him to oh, never mind. This portion of the Mike Malloy Show is brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. So anyway, you know, the news today about this report was released. We mentioned it Friday that word got out that it was going to be released today, that report written 5 years ago. And, of course, all the semi-hysterics that comprise a little handful of us in liberal media are just bouncing off the walls, bringing in this guest and that guest. Oh, my God, look at this, look at this. Which is kind of embarrassing to me. I mean, I see some of the people in media that I assume share the same point of view, political point of view that I do, and they're acting all giddy that this report has been forced out of the clutches of the vault in which it was hidden by this FOIA act on the part of the ACLU. And I just think to myself, you know, come on, boys and girls, calm down. This is bat snot. This is nothing. This is a butterfly sneeze. It is nothing where it concerns what has happened with this international terror organization for the past 60 years. Please, let's not act like it is. Oh, well. And then and I'm not trying to come out all jaded sounding and, oh, man, I know all about this stuff. I'm not. Anybody knows about this stuff. Just, oh, I don't know, take some search engine and type in CIA. Boom. There it will all be. And then the second thing is this, this possibility, probability, reality, actuality, maybe happenstance. Who knows? Because Eric and Brock may have a different opinion on this one. This rumor story, leak that Brock or that Eric Holder is going to appoint a special investigator, and that his scope will be very narrow. No, you can't go over there and you can't go over there and you can't go over there. All you can do is take a look at these, these interrogations and find out if they were within the law. And if they were within the law, then let's all fold up our tents and go home and pick another country to invade or destabilize or another leader to overthrow or assassinate or hundreds of thousands more people to incinerate, gas, burn, blow up, or explode. Huh? Okay, move on right now. That's the news today. That's the news today. and 9 Republican senators who occupy prominent roles on the Judiciary Committee last week urged Eric, don't go there, Eric. No, 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 no. Arguing that further investigation was both unnecessary and, I like this, unwise. Eric, have you seen the Zapruder film? You have, right? Eric, don't go there. Go ahead, pretend. You can play pretend. You can. You know, we let you and Barack play president and attorney general. We have up to this point. Careful. Careful. Don't act like you think you are a real attorney general and president. You are not the dynamic duo, Batman and Robin, nay, 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 nay. This is to fool the liberals. Post-racial society, indeed. So come on, boys, play. Play. Don't investigate. Don't even think about investigating. And poor Leon Panetta. I mean, just jumping up and down like a monkey in a cage, isn't he? Firing off these memos to his dedicated worker bees in the Department of Central Intelligence. And the most recent, the one that he fired off. When did he fire it off? Today? Did he fire it off today? Yeah, he did, didn't he? Hey. Boys and girls, it's me again, Daddy Leon. I know, I know, I know. They're raising hell with you again just because, oh, maybe a handful, okay, a couple of thousand people died in your custody. Well, it was overseas, and it doesn't count over there, so relax. I'm here. I'm here. I'll take care of you. Come on. Look at me. Look at me. Do I look like a threat? My name's Leon, for Christ's sake. Huh? Am I a threat? No, I'm not a threat. Sit down. It's okay. Papa Leon's got you covered. So here's another memo to calm you down. Don't worry about Eric and Brock. They, you know, they got to do what they got to do. But I'm here to protect the long history of the CIA, protecting the long history of the CIA. So sit down, everybody. Take a break. We'll, you know, we're going to have a picnic here in a couple of weeks, right out here and back, over here at Langley. We're going to sit out here on the hill, and we're going to have sandwiches and potato chips.
He was taking away with his laptop, and as he left, he called out to me.
This is real. Before the hour, from Paul in Portland, Oregon. Mike, I've never written a letter to a show or a person of influence in my life, but I love your show, and I felt that at least you might actually read the emails and soak them in. My girlfriend and I laugh and get angry with you at our crummy job almost every night we work. Thanks. I grew up in Fort Dodge, Iowa. It's about 90 miles northwest of Des Moines as the crow flies. Once an amazing city, has been losing population since I can remember, and I was born in 74. I would argue that this is a result of the conservative and unwillingness to embrace change that is in the nature of the community. Others think they just need a 4-lane highway. We might both have a point. I have lived in Portland, Oregon for about 3 years now and love it, though it makes me sad when I travel home. I was recently back and realized, though, that though, as with most places, most of those people are very good citizens and want to do what they can to make everyone happy. The problem that exists there is something that maybe people in larger markets, Fort Dodge has about 26,000 residents, aren't aware of, and that is a total lack of balance in the media. I'm not talking about how the right has much more invested in dispersing information. We all know that. I mean, there is absolutely no alternative forms of media in places like that to give the people even the slightest taste of the truth. And they certainly count as voters and activists at town hall meetings and the like. You can watch cable television and get the same vomit everyone else does, but when you turn on the radio, it's nothing but 8 different stations airing Rush Limbaugh, and then a lot of stations playing other conservative talk shows just in case they missed a spot on the dial, I guess. What's even more depressing is the newspaper. Print media have been one of the last safe havens of telling a bit more of the truth, but this paper is beyond belief. I would truly appreciate it sometime if you told your listeners to go to it at messengernews.com and just read the editorials. I swear it's like the editor is running a high school newspaper for the Republican Party. And if you have comments that present facts that are too much to the contrary of the editor, you get deleted. I just don't know how these people stand a chance of ever knowing the truth. Long story short, I would love to see the left figure out a way to get Air America and other outlets like it more affordable so that they can be aired on low-watt stations or whatever in these markets that have people listening to the radios but are the only one, are only being offered to one side to hear. The left has the truth on its side, so there hasn't been a better time to expand to the entire nation and get more people truly informed. I'll stop blasting ear off, but I love the show. Keep up the great work, and of course, keep it lit. Paul in Portland. Well, Air America is, just one slight correction, Paul. Air America is not a liberal or progressive media outlet. It is a company that is dying. They had a moment 5 years ago when it could have been, but it has not been ever what it could have been. So, and nobody, I think Ron Reagan may still be tied into Air America, but that's about the last one. Thanks for writing. This is from Steve in Grapevine, Texas. Mike, an activist friend of mine had an idea Wednesday night in Irving, Texas. The dishonorable Congressman Pete Sessions had a town hall meeting. There were protesters from both sides, and police kept them quite a distance from each other. However, both sides could still clearly hear the other. My friend Mike, who coincidentally is named Michael Moore, my friend Mike decided to infiltrate the birthers, scrotum throaters, and the knuckle walkers. Because he is an over 50 white male, he could blend right in. When the right-wingers began their chant of, "No government health care," my friend Mike would yell right along with them, "Kill the old and the sick." He quickened the cadence so that soon he was in the lead with, "Kill the old and the sick." And the crowd was repeating their chant back as if in agreement. "Kill the old and the sick!" They looked and sounded ridiculous. After a few minutes, the foxenized Limbots were so totally confused, they actually stopped yelling so they could silence Mike, who was making them look really pathetic. They didn't yell again. I didn't believe Mike's plan would work, but it did. And this in effed-up Texas. It was a really good day, Steve in Grapevine, Texas. That's a funny story. That's a thanks, Steve. Let me see here. Oh, Mike, I'm on a mission to introduce the term medical security into discussions of healthcare reform, if not to rebrand the effort altogether. Change provokes a fear of the unknown in many people, especially seniors. Reform, another word for change, can provoke the same fear of the unknown. Access to quality health care is vital to everyone, especially to seniors. Linking the word reform to health care was a major blunder on the part of reform advocates, allowing the insurance industry and other opponents of reform to successfully tap into the inherent fear of the unknown of a great number of Americans. In addition to being simple and succinct, medical security brings to mind two of the most familiar and successful government programs, Medicare and Social Security. I hope you would consider peppering future discussions of health care reform with the term medical security. Sincerely, Glenda in Antioch, Tennessee. Medical security. That's good. Medical security. Yeah, why didn't the Obama administration, several of you have written in, and Glenda is the most recent, explaining how or pointing out how the whole issue was framed the wrong way. We do live in a country of nutcases, scaredy cats, freaked out people, I don't care if they're old or young, people who are just totally disengaged from the system, people, the ones who are most vocal are enmeshed and being strangled by Fox News and right-wing commentators. So yeah, to just come out and say, well, we're going to call it healthcare reform. Oops, big mistake. Medical security. That's a good one. Medical security. I like that. Let's viralize that. Medical security. I wonder if I'll remember to say that. I'm not very good at remembering stuff. Medical security. Kill the old and the sick! Kill the old and the sick! And then the right wing ass jerks start repeating that. Huh? What are we supposed to say now? We're supposed to say kill the old. Oh, okay. Kill the old and the sick! Who said we should say that? Well, I think Glenn Beck did. Oh, damn. Didn't he commit suicide? He didn't? Oh, okay. Kill the old and the sick! Oh, my God. And the old people over there with the birthers are going, oh, are they talking about me? Death panels. Well, what's the newest thing now? A death package, a death envelope, a death overhang, a death pocket, something for the military. Is that the newest now? Is that the newest that the crazy people are doing? And it'll probably catch on. It's a death envelope, packet, suitcase, the sock, death, what is it? A death something that all of our soldiers, when they come back, see how evil these goddamn right-wingers are. See how just basically evil and filthy and stinky they are. Now they're trying to convince and they probably will convince millions of brain-dead Americans that Obama's healthcare medical security plan, Obama's medical security plan, has within it a death package envelope box for returning soldiers. And what this envelope box package has is instructions on the soldiers should kill themselves. Oh, my God. The grotesqueries of the right wing are just unending, aren't they? I mean, they really are. They just go on and on and on. Oh, it's called the Death Book for Veterans. Oh, my God. I do. Yeah, well, Bob wrote about this from Media Matters. On Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace repeatedly cropped quotes from a Veterans Health Administration document to falsely suggest that the Obama administration is pressing veterans to end their lives prematurely and to accuse Assistant Secretary of Veterans Affairs Tammy Duckworth of lying about it. Wallace referred to a Department of Veterans Affairs pamphlet as the Death Book. The Death Book. The death panel, the death book. And you know, once again, it's all projection. All of these people subscribe to the largest death cult in the history of the human race that incorporates elements of cannibalism and death worship and just monumental portions of fear. And this is their religious belief that is just saturated with blood and death and gore and fear and darkness and beasts and hell and damnation and thundering herds of demons and, you know, like that. 10 before the hour. Thanks to the psychic input tonight of our crew, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kay Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and the executive producer, Kathy Bay. Yeah, it's in Media Matters. This guy, H. James Toey, or Toohey, who during the Bush crime family years, he was the director of faith-based initiatives under Bush. Oh, my God. Faith-based. What kind of faith, you piglet? This guy wrote an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal, of course, that the Obama administration revived a Veterans Administration booklet on advanced planning directives that would, quote, steer vulnerable individuals to conclude for themselves that life is not worth living, end quote. And he called the book a death book. As Media Matters says, as with the death panel smear, conservative media, particularly Fox News, have promoted this false death book claim, ignoring facts that completely destroy all this rhetoric. Toey said that the manual tells veterans to, quote, hurry up and die in his August 18th Wall Street Journal column. It was headlined, quote, the death book for veterans, end quote. It's incredible. This thing came out in it came out in 1997. It's end of life stuff. And then when Bush took over, it was reissued. It has nothing to do. It's titled Your Life, Your Choices. That's the name of this book. God damn, I hate these people. The booklet emphasizes that, quote, your wishes will direct future healthcare decisions, end quote, and presents preserving one's life, quote, using any means possible, end quote, as an option to consider. But this pig Toey said in his op-ed piece that Your Life, Your Choices, the booklet, presents, quote, end-of-life choices in a way aimed at steering users toward predetermined conclusions, end quote. And now, you know, now this is spreading, see? This piglet Hannity, this bitch Palin, this piece of human excrement Limbaugh, this phony-ass illegitimate offspring of Mike Wallace, Chris Wallace, I don't know where he came from. All of these people are, you know, Jonah Goldberg and the rest of these freaks, they're all talking now about the death booklet that is being handed out to veterans to get them to go die. God damn. I mean, can you get your mind around this? Death panels and death booklets and all this coming out of the mouths of people who chew on death. They masticate death. They suck on it. They lick it. They worship it. Their whole culture is based around it. They invade countries. They assassinate leaders. They subscribe to a religion that's all about death and blood and flesh and eating and devouring and being eaten. Oh my God, I'm in a goddamn lunatic bin. This is madness. And millions of Americans out, oh, goddamn, please come back, Jesus, and rapture me. I can't take any more of this. Death booklets. Death cab for cutie. Ah! Death booklets for veterans. Ah! Death panels for old people. Ah! Death traps for mosquitoes. Ah! I need to go to church and take communion. Oh, wait a minute. That's the same damn thing, isn't it? Yeah, it is. More death. Ah! And they're just sucking it up. And the sociopaths, Chris Wallace and the pig man and the suicider and the guy that likes to hang out at the bunny ranch. Oh, my God. Did y'all go to bunnyranch.com, whatever, and see those pictures of Hannity standing there with the hookers? No offense to sex workers. With that dung-eating grin on his face, and he's holding a pen. He wants to be the new Bob Dole. Oh, my God. I got to get out of here. I really do. I have to. Are we done yet? Almost. What do we got? Another minute? Oh, Jesus. I don't know if I can. This has been a very bizarre program. I did not sit down in here this evening in this nasty little studio of mine to dominate for 3 hours the entire discussion on this program. As a matter of fact, it wasn't discussion to sit here and, I don't know, whatever the hell it was I did. I had no intention of doing that. But the more I read that memo from Leon, from Papa Panetta, you know, oh my God, it sounds like a pizza company, doesn't it? Leon Panetta. Panetta's Pizza. You know, when I read this thing from Papa Panetta, another letter to the killers at the CIA, you know, oh, Papa's here. Papa's here. Hey, Papa's in the house. It's all right. Nothing's going to happen. I know you people under a lot of strain as you defend and protect America, but Papa's here. I'm not going to let these nasty colored people get you. Don't worry. The more I read that, the more I thought, Leon's crazy too. I never thought Leon was crazy. No wonder Clinton got caught with the stained dress. Ooh, that always hits my gag reflex. I can't say that without, you know. But Leon was his lawyer. And now Leon is the head of the CIA. I need a drink. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Goodbye. Computer.